I know that I'm going to be speaking, one of the things that I do at the beginning of that week is I pray to God that His Spirit will tell me what I need to speak on that week. And just like always, I did that again this week. And midweek, we were in our Wednesday night Bible class, and we were talking, and so we got on a discussion of panic attacks, anxiety, worry, overwhelming fear that just disables us. And so I'm an educator at heart. I went home and I researched panic attacks. I wanted to know more about it because, you know, Papa asked in class, how many of you have ever had a panic attack? Probably about 40% of the class raised their hand and said, I've had a panic attack. I've had more than one panic attack. And I got thinking about that. And so I wanted to know what causes those. I wanted to know how to defeat those. You know, what can I tell somebody that had a panic attack? How to deal with that kind of thing. And I researched it. I'm not going to go into panic attacks today. I'm gonna talk about the solution, not the cause. And so the Hebrew word for it is shalom. And if they say it twice, shalom, shalom, that means perfect peace. But shalom is peace in the Hebrew. And I may mess up some of my foreign language words, not as bad as Papa does. But I may mess them up. Irene is the Greek for that as well. It means to, refers to an inner tranquility and poise of the Christian who trusts in God through Christ. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about anxiety and worry. And I've come to the conclusion that anxiety and worry is a lot like riding a rocking chair. You know, you work and you work and you work, but you don't go anywhere. That's what worry is. You worry, worry, and you never go anywhere with it. And anxiety. In researching this, I found that it says more than 23 million people suffer from anxiety disorders. That means there is a world that's not at peace. But there's a world out there that is troubled. And so I got to think, how do we use the word peace? Well, we talk about our peace of mind. You know, we're always concerned about that. And we talk about inner peace. Then we have peace with our brothers and sisters. We talk about peace with our fellow man. We talk about world peace. You know, the Miss America gets up there, and at the end, and they ask her, you know, what question, and she says, all I want is world peace. Well, for a Christian, that's kind of an oxymoron, because world and peace do not go together. You know, God said peace with the world is enmity or hatred toward God. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing to hope for, to wish for, but it's not going to happen. We're not going to ever achieve world peace until the world knows who God is. And that's up to us. We can take the word of God to the world, but the world will never find peace until they know God. We started a study today in Sunday morning class. Davey did a wonderful job introducing the author, Francis Chan. And I did not know until he sent out the email anyway that we were going to be studying this, so I didn't have time to read the chapter, you know, the assignment, like I should have. But I did some reading this morning, and he addresses the same thing about peace. He says this: worry implies that we don't think God is big enough, powerful enough, loving enough to care what happens in our lives. Say that again. Worry implies that we don't think God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to care what happens in our lives. Peace only comes through our knowledge of who God is. And David talked about, you know, about how big the world is and how big God is, the universe and such, and stuff like that. How can we ever really know who God is? And then he referred to the scripture, that Paul spoke. I want to know Christ and the powers of his resurrection, to share in his suffering and conform to his death. You know, that is seeking God. And we live in a world that does not seek God. They find their solutions in, and Matt can probably fill you in better than I can, but they find their peace of mind in Xanax and other drugs like that. But that's not where peace is found. As Christians, we can only find peace through knowing God. Through trusting God and thinking that God is big enough, powerful enough, and loving enough to take care of our every need, to watch over everything that we do. Jesus got into a boat, and his followers went to him. A great storm arose on the lake, so there were waves coming over the bow, and Jesus was sleeping. His followers went to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we will drown." And Jesus answered, "Why are you afraid? You don't have enough faith." Then Jesus got up and gave the command, and the winds and the waves became completely calm. Jesus had that peace. Jesus was asleep in a boat that was under a torrential storm, hurricane winds, waves flying over the bow. Jesus was asleep because he knew who God was. He had that peace. His disciples, who he'd been teaching, are distraught because they did not believe God was powerful enough to save them from their condition. Anxiety disrupts our family life. Anxiety disrupts our social lives. It disrupts all different aspects of our lives. We need to strive for that peace. And every time that Jesus references somebody in the New Testament, in the Gospels, for worrying, he rebukes them or admonishes them for worrying. He always ends with, "O ye of little faith." Faith and peace go hand in hand. We have to truly believe, we have to truly understand that God has our best interest in mind. And we have no control over it. It is not up to us. We are at God's will. We are at God's beck and call. And the times that we struggle, the times that we suffer, the times that we're at odds with ourselves inwardly, are times where we think we're in control, that we can do something about our situation, that we can make a difference in how things work for us. But that's not what it says. What rocks your boat? What causes you grief and anxiety? What gets that? What kind of storm in your life causes your boat to rock? The disciples, it was an actual boat. But what is it that you haven't turned over to God? That you feel that you can't trust God enough that you can say, "God, your will, not mine." Because that's what it boils down to. That's the foundation of it all. It's faith, which is trust in God, that he can handle anything. And I think that comes from the focus of the fact that we aren't always confident in God's promises. We're not always confident in the salvation that he offers us. Yeah, it's a nice thing. It's yes, I'm saved. Praise God and stuff like that. But we don't really get down to the heart of the matter and truly believe it. We don't believe it. It's just on the surface. We haven't turned everything over. We feel like we still have to control our lives. And I'm saying we don't. The scriptures are saying we don't. Until you see how, there's a musical called "My Arms Are Too Short to Box with God." We can't do what God does. Our arms are too short to box with God. We have to just turn it over to Him and let Him fight our battles. Faith and trust, that is the key components to fighting true peace. The scriptures talk about peace with God, peace with our brothers, peace with mankind, and peace with ourselves. Page 2. And the antidote for anxiety, worry, and fear is faith. What I wanted to do, and I never know how long I'm going to talk, because I do pray that the Spirit speaks through me, and so I never say everything that I have written down. And sometimes I say things that I don't have written down as the Spirit moves me. But I just thought today I would just share some of God's words with you. Now, from different scriptures that talk about this knowledge of God bringing us peace, this total comfort. So I'm going to start with the book of Job, chapter 22, verses 21 and 22. And I use the New Century version, so it may not be exactly like yours. Obey God and be at peace with Him. This is the way to happiness. Accept teachings from His mouth and keep His words in your heart. Peace comes through obedience. Peace comes from doing what God says. We know that when we do what God says, that we are at peace with God. And when we are at peace with God, we can truly be happy. With anxiety and worry, you lose the happiness that you could have. Psalms 119, verses 165. Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them. True peace. I'm going to end the lesson probably talking a little bit about what true peace is. In a little bit, but it says, only those who understand your true peace can find you, can defeat the world. Isaiah speaks a lot about peace. Now, he's dealing with a people who have turned against God. He is, you know, he is also prophesying about the peace giver that is to come. So I'm Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you, because they trust you. So trust the Lord always, because He is our rock forever. Here again is trust in God. And the promise of Him being our rock forever, our foundation, our solid ground that we stand on. Acts 10, 35. 36. In every country, God accepts anyone who worships Him and does what is right. You know the message that God has sent to the people of Israel is the good news that peace has come through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lord of all people. Jesus Christ has come to the world to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the giver of peace. And only when we're in a relationship with Him can we find that true peace. Romans 5:1. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happens through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's through Jesus Christ, as we petition God, that we, as we trust God, that we find that peace. That peace was not, that did not come to us except through Jesus Christ. He is the giver of peace, because He enables that relationship with God. Romans 8:6. If people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there is life and peace. So what is the controlling factor in your faith and your trust? It is the Holy Spirit. No, we are not dependent enough on the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to show us His will. And it's only through that Spirit that we can find the peace. Romans 15:13. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, here's another scripture referring that, you know, the peace comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. He grants us peace. He's the comforter that was promised to the disciples when Jesus ascended into heaven. He said, go and wait, and I will send you a comforter, a peacekeeper who will lead you into all truth. Galatians 5:22. These are what we commonly call the fruits of the Spirit. But the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You picking up on a theme here? It's the Spirit that grants us these fruits. And if you read through those fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, you know, those are all things that lead to our being happy. We know that we're happy when we're loving and when we find joy in life and when we're patient with one another and when we treat one another with kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, staying in self-control at all times. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away from God are brought near through the blood of Christ's death. Christ himself is our peace. Christ himself is our peace. Ephesians 4:3. You are joined together with peace through the Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way. Here he's talking about the peace that we have through the Spirit with one another. Make every effort to be at peace with one another. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we think that we battle with one another. If we're dependent upon God, if your life is turned over to God, and my life is turned over to God, there's no way I can imagine that we cannot find that unity. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking, because you were called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful. We're called together. I mean, this is an assembly. This is a function, and we're called together for what? We're called together to be thankful because we have peace with one another. We have our common unity in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that belief, that faith, and that trust in Jesus Christ is what gives us our peace and it gives us our unity. 1 John 3:19 and 20. This is the way we know that we belong to the way of truth. When our hearts make us feel guilty, we can still have peace before God. God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. God gives a heart that feels. You know, sometimes we want to avoid the emotions that we feel in the heart because maybe it's not manly to have to show all these emotions out in public and such like that. That's the world talking. We have been given a heart that leads us into truth, tells us when we're doing what's right, and also tells us when we're doing wrong. And it's the grace of Jesus Christ that brings us peace. It's bigger than our hearts. Even when we fail him, he grants us peace. We can still have peace in knowing that Christ died for us. You know, there are people who go through life worrying. Christians go through life worrying that, oh, I sin. I got to run and repent right away. You know, or did I commit a sin today? I don't remember committing a sin today. Maybe I did commit a sin today. You know, that shows lack of assurance. It shows lack of assurance that God has what God has promised us. You know, it says we should have confidence in Jesus Christ and the promises of God made by God. We should always know that our relationship with God is a continual thing. The blood of Jesus continually forgives us of our sins. And sometimes we get caught up in worrying that we're not good enough. I've known a lot of people that said, well, I just can't be good enough, so therefore I'm not even gonna go to church because I know I can't be good enough. You can be good enough. Jesus Christ made you good enough. Now, if Jesus Christ doesn't make you good enough, who else can? It's his blood that made you good enough. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can think, there's nothing you can say that makes you good enough. But Jesus made you good enough. This is one that we hear a lot because it's very comforting to us. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the verse that we focus on. But I want to focus just a minute about contentment. Contentment. You know, our knowledge of God brings us contentment. You know, because when we are discontented, our focus is on this world and not on heaven, not on God's promises. Okay? True contentment means that I'm going to just turn over my life and trust that the Lord is going to get me through this. When I was a freshman in college, I was kind of, I know you find this hard to believe probably, but I was a little bit of a procrastinator. And I would put off things. You know, I was able to do that in high school. I went to inner city public high school. And if I halfway listened in class, you know, I was high honors to graduate with. But I didn't really learn anything about how to study until I got to college. My freshman year, I was the kind of person that would go home, go back to my room. And if there was a paper due the next day, that's the night I wrote it, no matter how long it took me. And then finals came, the first set of finals. And I had two each day that I had to study for. I stayed up all night long. I'd stay up all night long studying for my finals. I'd go and take my finals, come back, and start studying for my next set of finals. Stay up all night long. Study for my finals, and then go take my finals. Third day, stayed up all night long. Somewhere around 11 o'clock that night, I got a call from a friend of mine. And back at that time, the only phone was in a common room in the hallway. And so someone would come knock on your door and say, somebody wants you on the phone, and you'd go get the phone. Well, there's a bunch of guys that were in the common room studying for their exams. And I walked in, I picked up the phone, I said, hello. The next thing I remembered was, it was waking up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in my bed. And just kind of disoriented. And my roommate said, I said, what happened? He goes, you said hello, dropped to your knees, fell face first into the wall, hit your head. We carried you over and put you in bed, and now this is the first time you've woke up since. Well, I learned a valuable lesson that I wasn't at peace, you know, and it was my own fault. I wasn't dependent upon God to do what he was going to do. I made a vow to myself that I would never worry again. No matter what. If I did not prepare the way I needed to prepare, that was my fault. Not God's. So what I could do was to prepare the best I could. And whatever the result was is what the result was. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to stress over it. I'm not going to get... And I have lived that way ever since my freshman year at Hardy. And you know, I find such peace in just letting God do his thing. Where I'm not dependent upon myself other than to do what I know I should do. And if I don't do it, that's my own fault. It's not God. But if I do it, I know that God, I can count on God to get me through this. And I'm not going to worry about it. That's what I call the peace that passes understanding. That God is in control. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may God himself, the God of peace, make you pure, belonging only to him. May your whole self, spirit, soul, and body be kept safe and without fault when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. Wow, that's a promise. No, may God himself, who is the God of peace, make you pure. Jesus, I'm going to conclude with a couple more scriptures. Jesus, in preparing his disciples for his departure from earth, toward the end of his ministry, some of my favorite passages in all of scripture come from John 14, 15, 16. And so I'm going to look at John 14, 27. I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Okay? The promise of peace of the world fails. The promise of peace from God leads us to not be troubled or afraid. It casts out all fear. John 16:33. I told you these things so that you can have peace in me. In this world you will have trouble, but be brave. I have defeated the world. Jesus Christ has defeated the world. The world, the love of the world is hatred toward God. The love of Jesus Christ is hatred toward the things that the world tries to get us to do. So, he says, disciples, I told you these things so that you could have, no, he could have said anything, he says, so that you could have peace. I'm going to ask David if he'll come up and lead us in a song, and I want you to just think of the words of this song, and I have one last thing to say, and then we'll say our invitation. The song is number 761. Listen to the words.
Prince of Peace, control my will. Bid this struggling heart be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit into peace. Thou hast bought. Oh,
Prince of Peace, control my will. When we want so badly to make our own decisions, it takes great power and inner peace to turn it over to God. Bid my struggling heart be still. Let me be anxious for nothing, but with prayer, turn it over to God. Thou hast bought me with thy blood. This is the foundation of why we can have this peace. Open wide the gates of God. Peace I ask, but peace may be, Lord, in being one with thee. True peace comes through the oneness that we share with Jesus Christ. It's the only way to find that peace. May thy will, not mine, be done. Oh, very hard to say that. But turning it over to God means succumbing to his will, whatever it is. And sometimes we fight doing the will of God. We don't go with what he's telling us to do. We ignore him. But may thy will, not mine, be, may thy will and mine be one. Unity, God. Chase these doubtings from my heart. Now thy perfect peace impart. When the doubtings are erased from our hearts, we find true peace. Peace that the world could never know. True peace. It is the inner calmness promised to the believer who has a thankful attitude based on unwavering confidence that God is able and willing to do what is best for them. Trust him, that their trust in him brings about peace that transcends human intellect and human analysis. They can't figure it out. They don't understand it, but it comes. This peace guards, a military term meaning to keep watch over. God's peace guards the believer from anxiety, fear, and worry because of their trust and faith in him. It's a guardian. It is God watching over us. And it's us allowing God to watch over us that brings us peace. I picked the song, the invitation song, All to Jesus I Surrender, because that is the only way that we'll ever find peace, is to surrender our all to God. If you have not surrendered your heart to God, if you have not saw him in the big picture, that he is the big picture, that he is the powerful, he is the loving, he is the saving, and you need the prayers of the church, you're welcome to come and ask for the prayers of the church, or just bow your head and pray yourself that God will bring you that peace that you so much desire. And if you haven't found the peace by becoming a Christian, then you need to come forward and be baptized. And I can guarantee you that'll be the most peaceful time you'll ever experience, is the time you come up out of the water of baptism, because you know the Spirit has just entered inside you and you are at perfect peace with God. If you need to respond, please come as we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus I